Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, A Loving Father, from the series Stronger, examining how Paul's teachings to the Corinthians can help you grow in your relationship with Christ. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
I encourage you, open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse 14 today. And as Paul has been spelling out to the Corinthians about how they can grow stronger in their relationship with Christ, as we've been talking in this series, about the first 7 to 9 verses or so have been really encouraging. And after that really became Paul's rebuke and admonition and what are you thinking and you're living carnal and you're being selfish and all these different things. I mean, even to the point where Paul at times has been sarcastic or ironic in his conversation. And where we get now at the end of chapter 4 is he's going to tell us why he's been talking this way and why he's been sharing the things that he's been sharing. And what he's going to let us know is he's been talking to us as a good father. He's been talking to us as a loving father, as a caring father, as somebody that genuinely cares about the soul of the people that he's pouring into. Now, when we talk about father, I just got to say, for many of you, when I say the word father, it gives you an emotive experience. Right, just the word father, because for some of you, it's just like, yes, love, peace, joy, gratefulness, thankfulness. That's what a father is. For some of you, it elicits other emotions that come out of you like fear or anger or bitterness or abandonment or frustration. I get it. So what we're talking about this morning when it comes to fathering is what is our heavenly father like? I mean, if there's anybody that Jesus enjoyed spending time with, it was his father. It's why he always spent time in prayer. It's why he always talked about his dad. It's why he said, I only do what I see my father doing. He loved his dad. All the way to the end. I mean, even when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross, what's he doing? He's talking to his dad. He loves his dad. He's always talking about his loving father. Well, Paul is representing as a spiritual father to the church in Corinth what a spiritual loving father looks like. And what he's going to do is he's going to highlight 4 things that a spiritual father is. And as you hear this today, what we're going to hear is who our heavenly father is to us and who the men in our life that spiritually shepherd us, what they should be for us. And Paul's going to highlight those things. And because it's such a short passage, what I'd like to do is just read through this and then we'll unpack these 4 things together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 14, here's what Paul says. I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became father through the gospel. Therefore, I exhort you, be imitators of me. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. And he will remind you of my ways, which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, some have become arrogant as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you soon if the Lord wills, and I shall find out not the words of those who are arrogant, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. What do you desire? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? And in these short verses, we really hear the heart of a loving father. We really hear the heart of a spiritual shepherd. And Paul is going to explain to the Corinthian people, hey, here's why I've been so harsh and strong in my words to you. And the first is this, 4 things we're going to talk about this morning. The first is this, a loving father issues warnings that consequences are imminent if behavior doesn't change. That's what a loving father does. A loving father issues warnings that consequences are imminent if behavior doesn't change. Notice what he says in verse 14. I do not write these things to shame you, but to what? Admonish you. Not writing to shame you. He goes, I haven't been saying all this stuff to you so that you walk away and feel bad. I'm not trying to heap guilt on your head so that you have shame. I mean, Paul is also the same guy that wrote in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul's saying, I'm not writing this to heap up guilt and shame on your life. That's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it for this purpose. I'm doing it to admonish you. Admonish means I am bringing this to your mind to warn you that the direction that you're going is not a good direction. It's a direction that's not helpful for you, and it's not helpful for the church. And I love you enough to admonish you. I love you enough to warn you. I love you enough to tell you that you're not on the right path. Every loving father does that for his children. Did you know that? I mean, if you're a father and you have children and you say, I don't care what you do. I don't care how you speak. I don't care how you treat your mother. I don't care how you treat our house. I don't care what you say to other people. As long as you get to do whatever you want to do, I'm happy with that. You are not a good father. Would we agree on that? Right? So to admonish means I care about you enough and I love you enough to speak strong words into your life to show you the direction you're going is not good and there's consequences for the direction that you're going, right? That's what Paul's saying. He goes, I'm telling you this because I love you. Notice what the next words are, he says. He says, you know, I'm not telling you to shame you, but to admonish you as what? As my beloved children. He's saying, I'm telling you something's wrong because you're my beloved children. I mean, to Paul, the Corinthian church are not just parishioners. They're not just people that are showing up. How does he view them? As my beloved children. What's my? There's a personal significance. There's a personal relationship. It's not like any other place. Like, we belong to one another. I mean, you're special to me. And what are you? You're beloved. That means you're chosen and you're dearly loved and you're significant and you're special. Why? Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ and we share the same Father and you're my children. What are children? Children is I'm responsible for you. I'm called to feed you and love you and admonish you and see that you get on the right direction because where you are is not ultimately where you're gonna end up. And I have responsibility to see that you grow in the maturity that you need to grow in for the sake of the gospel. The same is true in the church as it is in life. I mean, there's nothing like seeing new life. I mean, I love it when some of you young families or even older families have infant children, right? And you bring them to church and we get to see them and like, oh, beautiful. I mean, they all have the same head as me and, you know, they're just cute. And we love that and love seeing them and talking to them. And it's beautiful and it's a wonderful season, but that's not the end game, is it? I mean, we realize we've only got a short amount of time and that God has more planned than just to change their diapers and feed them, that over time, God wants to see them grow and he's given them purpose and uniqueness. And our job as parents is to shepherd that and help them go in a way so that when they're on their own, they can live lives and find success and flourish in whatever God's called them to do, right? That's what spiritual parenting looks like and spiritual fathering. And sometimes because you love your children so much, you will want, well, you'll do what? You'll warn them. The way you're going is not good and there's consequences to the way you're going. And I know you don't like to hear that, but I love you enough to tell you. But Dad, nobody else is being told that. But Mom, how come they? Because they don't love you like I love you, right? That's what Paul's saying to the church in Corinth. I love you enough to tell you that you're in a way that's not going the right way. And isn't this true even when Paul tells Timothy to preach the word? I mean, we hold up God's word and we hear the Father talking through the word about his son. I mean, he tells Timothy to preach the word. He says what? Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. I mean, 2/3 of those things, when we hear the word, it's reproof, which is I'm correcting, I'm making some tactical corrections in your life, or I'm reproving, like you're totally going the wrong way, turn around, or I'm exhorting you like, hey, good job, but keep going. You can do a little better. That's what the word of God does. That's why when we leave church, sometimes we feel reproved. Sometimes we feel like, you know, that's a course correction. I needed to hear that. Sometimes we feel rebuked, like, holy cow, that was a hard one. I feel like I just got spanked this morning because God told me to turn the other way, right? And other times we feel exhorted where we hear the Lord say, good job, just keep taking that next step. You're doing really well. That's what the word of God does. And at any given time, in any given sermon, all those things can be going on in the body of Christ, amen? And Paul's saying to the people in Corinth, he goes, I love you enough to tell you the truth because I'm your spiritual father. I literally care about you. Now, let me tell you something about admonishing people. Do you know the Bible tells us to admonish one another, to warn one another? Being a spiritual father is not a passive duty. I mean, nobody wants to warn anybody else. Let's just let everybody else do whatever they want to do. But even in the body of Christ, We have a spiritual responsibility to admonish one another. It means when we see something in somebody else's life that's off course or going the other way, if we love them, what will we do? We'll tell them.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, A Loving Father, from the series Stronger, examining how Paul's teachings to the Corinthians can help you grow in your relationship with Christ. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment, but first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first-look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to BravePastorJeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is BravePastorJeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
If we love them, what will we do? We'll tell them. We'll tell them. Sometimes we don't like it when other people tell us those things. And I have found in my life, when people tell me those kind of things, they need to give me some time to process those kind of things, just like anybody else, okay? And we need that too. But when you admonish someone, you're doing what the body of Christ is called to do. Now, when I say admonish somebody, I don't mean that you stand with the Bible in the lobby every Sunday and kind of look for people. Yep, we need to talk. This is you. You're totally off course. God wanted me to tell you. Oh, by the way, well, hold on. Don't go anywhere. This is you and you're wrong. That's not what it means to admonish somebody. Admonishing is those people in our sphere of influence that we have a relationship with, that we know what's going on, and we love them enough that we actually want to see the change, and we'd be willing to walk through the changes if they were willing to turn. It's not just pointing out sin. It means I love you enough to point these things out, and I love you enough that I'm willing to walk through. And I can tell you, when you admonish someone, oftentimes you really find out what's truly going on in their heart. Oftentimes you really find out what their character looks like when they're being admonished. I mean, even Paul says in Hebrew, or not Paul, but in the book of Hebrews, it says, no discipline is pleasant at the time. I mean, nobody likes being admonished, let's be honest. I mean, even those of us who would say, feedback's the breakfast of champions, and I love it when people tell me because I can get better. No, you don't. Nobody likes it. I mean, it's not fun, but we can appreciate it if we know that somebody really loves and cares for us. And Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 8, you can write this verse down. It really talks about how people respond to admonishment. It says, do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. In other words, the one reason we really don't like to admonish other people, and when we have opportunity to do that, if you really are being called of God to admonish somebody, let me tell you, you're not gonna want to do it. I mean, if you like, I look forward to the day I get to admonish people, there's something wrong with you, okay? God, it shouldn't be an enjoyable experience. It should be something that we're doing out of obedience to Christ. And the reason we're fearful to do it is because we don't know how people are gonna respond to us. Like, I know if I say that to them, they're gonna get really upset with me and they're gonna gossip behind my back and they're gonna slander me. So I'll just let them go their own way because I don't wanna get hurt by showing them the truth in their life. And so we passively back off. But a good spiritual father or a good spiritual mother will do what? Hey, I love you enough, and I know this may hurt your feelings, but I need to tell you this. And I love you enough and I'm willing to walk through, but this is what I've seen, right? And what you find when you admonish a Christian, how they respond shows you where their level of heart is. Because when people get squeezed, their character really comes out. And it either comes out as really sweet nectar, like, wow. Or it comes out as sour grapes. Kind of a lemon, like, who do you think you are? Why are you talking, you know, right? And so if you're going to admonish someone, here's what I really encourage you to do. Pray for them long before you ever do it. And pray for how you're gonna deliver the admonishment and how you're gonna warn them and what you're gonna do. Paul knew the Corinthians well. I mean, the words he's using are cutting right to their heart, but he has a relationship with them in such a way that he can do that because he would agree with John, how John says in 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than this to hear of my children walking in the truth. I mean, what did Paul want to see? He wanted to see all the Corinthians walking in the truth of the light of the gospel and being freed up and having hope and having joy and having peace. What do I want as your pastor? I want to see you freed up in Jesus. I want you to love him. I want you to enjoy him. And oftentimes what that means is I'm admonishing from the word. Like, here's what the word says. There's a course correction here. There's something God wants to do in your life just a little bit differently. And all of us would admit, I'd admit, All of us would admit we haven't arrived yet. All of us would admit we got some growing room to do. So we shouldn't be surprised when the word of God admonishes us and God's issuing warnings that consequences are coming if we don't change. Why? Why would God do this to us? Because undisciplined and carnal believers cause harm to themselves and cause harm to the body of Christ. I mean, there's all sorts of things in the Bible that God talks about and God lays out standards for, like what sexual purity looks like and what it looks like to forgive somebody else when they've wronged you and how to have a pure heart and how to have a wise mind and all those things. Why? Because if you don't live in line with that, you can really get hurt. And how many people by show of hands would admit, hey, there was some sin that I sinned in my life that actually hurt me and maybe even other people around me at some point in my life, right? We all have. If you haven't raised your hand, it's just because you're not paying attention to the question, right? All of us have, right? Every single one of us. And so what Paul's doing is like, hey, I care about you enough. Don't hurt yourself. Children, I'm just telling you, sometimes when your parents are telling you things about, man, you just don't understand the times. Not only do they understand the times, they understand how stupid they were when they were your age, and they're trying to help you because they don't want you to go down the same path that they did because they love you and they don't want you to experience the pain that they've experienced or the pain that they've caused others. That's what a good spiritual father or mother does. They issue warnings, they admonish, they say consequences are coming either from me or from someone else if your behavior continues in the way that it's going. And when you know that, and when you know you're loved, you can hear the words. What does Paul say? Verse 15, he says, for if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. In other words, he says, you've had many people teach you about the gospel, and that's great, but who led you to Christ? It was me. Who's your spiritual daddy? It's me. We have a special relationship because I led you to Christ. I mean, can you remember who led you to Christ? I remember who led me to Christ. I have a special relationship with Gordy Smith because he led me to Jesus Christ. He's my spiritual father in the faith. You know, I have a guy that led to the Lord when I was in college. He'll call me on the phone and he'll say, hey, Dad, what's up? Right? Because I'm a spiritual father in the faith. And that's what Paul was to them. But even more than just leading them to Christ, what did he do? He parented them. He loved them. He fed them. He lived his life among them. He poured himself into them. He goes, I think about you in a special way because I'm your father. I mean, when I get to go speak at other churches, that's an easy gig. I'm just telling you, it's an easy gig because I can take all my favorite stories and all my best stuff and package it. It takes me about 5 minutes to prepare a message and it's easy. But I don't love the people that I'm speaking to in the same way that I love this church. Right, because I know you and we spend time together and I see your flaws and you see my flaws and we pray for one another and we build one another. So there's something special that happens here and there's a way deeper love that I have for the people in Denver, Colorado in our church than anywhere else in the world because I'm your spiritual father, right? And that's what Paul's telling the Corinthians. And he's always issuing warnings that consequences are imminent if their behavior doesn't change. That's what a loving spiritual father does. Let me tell you the second thing he does. A loving spiritual father provides a personal example to follow and teaches others to do the same. He provides a personal example to follow and teaches others to do the same. Notice what he says in verse 16. Therefore, I exhort you, be imitators of me. Be imitators of me. That literally means mimic me. That literally means I walk my talk. Don't just do as I say, but do as I do. That's what Paul's saying. Be imitators of me. Now, when it comes to Jesus, that's an easy one. I mean, when Jesus calls his disciples in Matthew chapter 4, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, he said, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Well, that's Jesus. He's perfect. In other words, when Jesus says, come follow me, it's an easy gig because he's like, I'm perfect. Just do what I do, say what I say, pray like I pray, and everything will go good with you. But Paul's not Jesus. Paul's a sinner saved by grace. Even long after Paul's conversion, when he was writing to the Romans, he was saying, I don't understand what I'm doing because the good I want to do, I don't do, but the evil I do, and why the heck? I don't even get what I'm doing sometimes. So he's not writing as a spiritual perfectionist saying, I got it right, imitate me. What's he saying? He's saying, in everything I'm doing, I am doing my best to walk my talk. He goes, here's what he's really saying. He's saying, I live what I teach and I teach what I live. There's congruency. And the one thing that you would have seen in Paul that you didn't see in Jesus was confession of sin, repentance, right? I mean, Jesus forgave others. Paul would have forgiven others. But at other times, Paul needed to ask forgiveness for the way that he asked, for the way that he acted. Jesus never needed to ask forgiveness. Ask forgiveness for what? He never did anything wrong. He's perfect, right? Here's the question in the church. We can say it's important for us to go out and share the gospel, but when we share the gospel with people who come to Christ, can we honestly look them in the eye and say, hey, over the next year, just follow me in the same way you see me follow Christ and you'll be good. mimic me, mimic my marriage, mimic my parenting, mimic my preaching, mimic my lifestyle, mimic the way I handle money, mimic the way I handle people that are hard with me, mimic the way I treat other people kind of, mimic me. And most of us as believers in Christ, no, don't do what I do. I mean, I know what, just don't follow me, follow Jesus. No, they need a living example to follow. How are they gonna follow Jesus if they can't even see Jesus in you? And one of the biggest detriments in the evangelical church that I see are people who call themselves by the name of Christ, but don't live it. And then there's other people that are watching saying, you're saying this, but you don't live this way. And I want nothing to do with that because you're a hypocrite, right? Paul's saying, hey, follow me in the same way I follow Christ. It's not the only place he said it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, he said almost the identical thing. He said, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. In other words, I am trying to follow Christ and imitate him. And in the ways that you see in me imitating and following Christ, do that. Do that in me. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, he says something very similar. He says, the things which you have learned and received. In other words, when you've heard me talk, what you've learned from me and what you've received in me. And then he goes, the things you've learned and received and heard and seen. In other words, and what you've witnessed in me and what you've watched in me and everything about me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. In other words, here's Paul's testimony. Just do what I do and you'll get the gospel. Can we say that? So that's what a spiritual father is called to say, right? Mimic me. Now, if we're really honest with ourselves, we see all the sorts of holes in our life. We see all the ways we don't measure up. I totally get that. But is the blood of Christ filling those holes? Is Jesus like filling those things up? Because if you had to wait until you were the perfect husband to get married, or you had to wait until you're the perfect wife to get married, we could only have singles. If you had to wait until you were the perfect parent to have kids, we wouldn't be allowed to have children. If you had to wait till you were the perfect pastor to pastor, we couldn't have churches. I mean, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is to the extent that you see me walking out the gospel in my life and growing in Christ and loving Jesus and it's pouring from me, imitate those things and the God of peace will be with you. That's what he's saying. And that's what he's telling the Corinthians. He's like, I've lived among you. I've modeled this among you. You've seen me. You spent time with me and I'm exhorting you, be imitators of me. Notice what else he says. I don't really have a personal example. I've been teaching others to do the same thing I have. He's saying, I have a personal resume of people I've taught who live Christ-like like me. Verse 17 says, for this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. What is he talking about again? Kids, my beloved children. I have Timothy, and he will remind you of my ways, which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere and in every church. In other words, I'm the same in Corinth as I am in Philippi, as I am in Colossae. I'm teaching and living the same way. I'm not a Christian chameleon where I act Christian here and I don't act Christian there. I'm a Christian no matter where I go and what I do. And I've been teaching the same things everywhere I go. And now I'm gonna send Timothy to you because Timothy knows my heart and I have no one like him. I mean, when Paul writes to the Philippians, when he's going to send Timothy to the Philippians, notice what he says about Timothy in Philippians 2:20. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. In other words, Timothy welcomed Paul's teaching in his life and grew as a child to the place where Timothy was now fathering others. When we're called to make disciples, it doesn't just mean sharing the gospel with people. It means when we share the gospel with people and there's people who have come to Christ and they're young in their faith, it is our responsibility to see them grow up. It's not simply a pastor's job. That's the pastor's job. Just go to church. No, it's our job to walk alongside them so they can see a living model of what it looks like to see Jesus Christ living in and through you. Do you have people in your life like that?
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, A Loving Father, from the series Stronger, examining how Paul's teachings to the Corinthians can help you grow in your relationship with Christ. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit bravepastorjeff.com. That's bravepastorjeff.com. But before we wrap up, we also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.